Hey there, everybody. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you're joining us today. It is gorgeous and sunny, believe it or not, in Clearwater today. And nice to see that sun out. It's a little cool, isn't it, Pastor Jim?
A little chilly, but it's nice.
Oh, it's nice. My grandsons were here this past week, and we had bad weather all week, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a great time even then. We had a wonderful time together. And we're going to have a great time today on this show, Pastor Jim, with you and with Megan. And Megan, are you with us there?
I'm on. Hi.
Hi. Hi, how
Megan.
Are you? Wow, there's a lot going on in your life, little one, up there in Richmond, Indiana, isn't there?
There's a lot going on, but it's nothing but peaceful. So it's fabulous. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Yeah, doing good. Just came off of a great service this morning and nice lunchtime. And here we are ready to share the word of God. And today's special word is, are you ready with the applesauce? Here we go. Hang on. The word for the day is celebration. Celebration. So some of you are probably thinking we're crazy over here. Yes, we are. We're crazy about the Lord, and we're going to celebrate His goodness and His presence today. And as we go through this teaching today and chat about it, we're going to be hearing that word celebration quite a bit, aren't we, Pastor Jim?
We heard it a lot this morning.
Let's have a party.
Amen.
It's party day. My dear sister Karen sometimes listens to the show. I don't think she is today. But she turned 60 last night, Cedric. And there was a great big party celebration in Palm Harbor at the Thirsty Marlin.
Cool.
And 65, 70 people were there. My sister knows a lot of people. And we celebrated and we partied. And we're going to talk about celebration today, but not about Karen's birthday, but about all kinds of things in the Word, aren't we, Pastor Jim? There's a lot to celebrate about. Do you know, Pastor Jim, so many people go through life and they're depressed, they're discouraged, they're down. Some of the listeners today that tuning in may feel that way right this moment.
Amen. Amen. I did this morning.
Did you?
Well, you know.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And but it's funny because...
I mean, yes, you did.
I did,
and
yes.
I prayed over you. Yes, yes, that's what I meant to say. And I said, I did, but I didn't.
And just for our listeners, there were some things going on, and I was depressed. And I use, oddly enough, the American Bible Society Daily Reading Guide, and today was Psalm number 30.
Yes.
And it was all about turning our mourning into dancing, and,
yes,
you know, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord had given Pastor that exact same word today, this morning.
This morning early.
And it was just a confirmation for me, and I praise God for that.
Amen. Amen. And Megan, when you're going through hard times, which you and Ben have been, there comes a place where you just start rejoicing, right, and celebrating because you know your victory is there for you, right?
Amen. There's victory in Jesus. And, you know, during those times of mourning or during those times of sadness, it's just like Psalm 30 says, praise Him and the joy will come in the morning, and it always does.
It always does. So, you know, as I preach today, it just kept coming out. This is party day. This is celebration day. This is a day to rejoice and really have a good time in God. I think Christians so often are just, you can tell they're a Christian because they're down in the dumps, you know? That's ridiculous. But I think that is the way it is, don't you think, Pastor Jim, for a lot of people?
Well, absolutely. And it's funny, I think, well, not funny, it's actually kind of sad, but so many Christians are like the Pharisees and what we're going to be getting into today, the Pharisees and the doctors of the law, who look down on Jesus for the people he associated with.
Right.
And it's, and so you miss out on all the joy. If you're sitting there judging, it's hard to be joyful when you're judgmental.
Right. Absolutely. And when you're down in the dumps and judgmental, it certainly does not reflect the joy of the Lord, which is our strength.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you find yourself today feeling discouraged and down and wondering how your life can ever improve, stay tuned to this majorly wonderful show entitled Celebrate. So you gotta stick with us. Here we go, Megan. We're gonna start with that song that you like by Chris Tomlin, "God's Great Dance Floor." Woo! Floor. Woo! Weeping may last for a night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning.
Yeah, I was about ready to get up and dance.
Just then. Well, you know what? That is what we should be doing. Christians should be really celebrating the presence of the Lord every single day because we have so much to celebrate and be happy about. You know, and God is throwing parties all the time, which we're going to talk about today. There's party throwing going on. So, Megan, you are about to deliver baby Grayson on April 11th.
Yes, ma'am. Only got 11 days left to go.
That's you didn't change right. your mind, right? You're still going to have the baby, right?
Yeah, I'm going to let him out. Yeah.
Yeah, let him out. Let him out so he can play and we can meet him and and all that good stuff. Little Grayson is going to be a part of the Kramer family in just a few days. Megan, it's been a tough time, and I know it has. We've talked about it on the air with you before, the bad reports, etc., but you are full of faith, young lady. I just saw you last week in Indiana when I was there, and what a joy to see the faith that you are walking in.
Well, you know, I feel like, you know, I had a time of mourning and a time of sadness, but I don't remember when it turned to nothing but sheer utter joy. It's just like that song, God's Great Dance Floor. It was a couple of weeks ago after I left one of the doctor's appointments that we have, and I have a vision of God. They're throwing a party, just like you said. They were throwing a party after we had gotten some good news. I can't remember what day it was, but they do. They throw parties up there. There's nothing but sheer joy.
Amen. Amen. You know, people want to celebrate something, you know? Seriously, the crowd that showed up last night for my sister, I mean, they wanted to celebrate her life, but they also wanted to just have a good time and dance and, you know, sing and be silly and eat food and all that good stuff that you do. And so that's the theme today. Some of you out there maybe woke up today in a mood, a discouragement. Maybe you're going through a crisis, a life situation that is very painful. We have the internet up so that you can contact us personally. We don't always do that, but we do today. And you can write us directly here in the studio today, pastor@bohmglobal.com. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So pastor@bohmglobal.com, and your comments, your questions, or just something you'd like to say, whatever, write us. It's right in front of Pastor Jim. So we are in Luke 15 today. We are in a series that we began last week, and it is called this. You ready? He is bringing us out to bring us in. And it comes from the book of Deuteronomy, which we will go back to Luke in just a minute. So let's just start with Deuteronomy so everybody knows where we got this theme and what it's all about. And it is Deuteronomy 6:23, and it says this. The next time your child asks you, what do these requirements and regulations and rules that God our God has commanded mean? Tell your child, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. And God powerfully intervened and got us out of that country. Okay, now the right there, we're saying what they were. The children of Israel were slaves 400 years to Pharaoh in Egypt. And they are being reminded now that they have gotten out of that servitude. Okay, we stood there and watched because when they came out, there were all kinds of miracles that happened, right, Pastor Jim? We stood there and watched as God delivered miracle signs, great wonders, and evil visitations on Egypt and on Pharaoh and his household. He pulled us out of there, and I'm going to read it here in the New American Standard in a minute, this verse, which is verse 23. He pulled us out of there so he could bring us here. To give us the land he so solemnly promised to our ancestors. In the New American Standard, or it's the NIV, I'm not sure, it says this. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in to give us the land which he has sworn to our fathers. Pastor Jim, what are we talking about here about bringing us out and bringing us in? And what does this have to do with a party? Well, maybe we'll get to that
we'll
point.
Get to that party
we'll get
part.
To that party part pretty
well,
soon.
God does not do things in half measures. He didn't just bring the Israelites out of Egypt,
right?
And let them. That was it.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a plan.
And just left them in the wilderness to
right.
rot.
Yeah, God doesn't do things and doesn't bring us out to leave us in limbo
right.
somewhere. He brings us out to put us someplace,
right?
And you know, I'd mentioned before, it's all this kind of exchange thing. What we were, God takes us out of that and brings us to something else, from death to life, from sinner to righteous. You know, it's this whole exchange.
Yes.
He took my death that I can take his life.
Amen.
That I can have his life in me.
Amen.
And that's what this is talking about. God doesn't do
From morning to dancing.
Right.
Turn my morning into dancing.
Right,
okay?
Exactly.
Same thing. Your sadness, your depression, your mourning. God wants to turn that into a party for you.
Right.
You know, as bizarre as that may sound. Go ahead.
Well, we can prove that from Scripture.
We are going to here in a minute.
But that's, I mean, that's important because I was thinking, especially in this time, just before the resurrection and all that, you know, Jesus went to the cross and took our sins and then rose from the dead.
Right.
And we, Scripture says we participated in all that. So we died. Everything
right.
that we inherited from Adam died. But that, in a sense, wasn't good enough for God.
Right.
No, he couldn't just leave that alone. We then were raised with Jesus.
Amen.
Into new life.
Amen.
So it's
so
this,
brought us out of that into the new glorious life.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's this whole series of from this to this, from this to this.
Right.
And, you know, that's so wonderful because just like the Israelites, God didn't just say, okay, I'll forgive your sins and then just leave us alone
right.
to kind of flounder.
Right.
No, he gave us new life.
Amen. And Megan, it's the same with your situation. Yeah, we've had some bad news, you know, different times in this last few months with you, with baby Grayson. But yet, you know in your heart that God's bringing you out of that bad news and those evil reports, right?
Oh, amen. And you know, those all those bad reports, to me, those are lies of the devil.
Okay.
Because this child is healed by the stripes that Jesus bore on the cross.
Amen.
And it's just like that for anybody. No matter what type of situation you're going through, you know, whether you've been given bad news about your health, your finances, God wants to bring you out and bring you into a new day of joy and celebration.
Amen. And, you know, I think, Megan, a lot of people get so used to living in the, I'm going to call them the doldrums. You know, where you're just down and you just get up, well, it's another day and I gotta go to work, you know, that kind of an attitude. They get used to that instead of getting used to celebrating every day that we are alive. You know, I've known a few cases of people that were given a death sentence, you know, physically because of some things that happened to them. And one man in particular I had sold a house to, and he made a choice, a decision to whatever time he had left to live each day to the best of his ability and make it count and celebrate instead of sitting around and feeling sorry for himself. And I think, Megan, that's what you guys have done. You have learned in this process to number one, not believe the negative report, but instead believe what God has told you about your son, right?
Amen. And it's amazing when you choose to trust God. And when I say trust, I mean fully trust in God.
Yeah.
That no matter what situation you're given, it can be turned around. Even if it continues to be a sad situation, you don't have to be sad if you would trust in God.
Absolutely. And even in circumstances, you just said this, and I'm going to piggyback on that and then pass it over to Pastor Jim. Even in circumstances that are really difficult and defeating, that can really work in us, a trust in God. If we allow God to do something in us through those difficult moments, Pastor Jim, talk to me about that.
That is true. I mean, I'm starting to sound like, man, that is
that's
true.
That's true. That's true. yeah.
But, yeah, but we have to let God work.
Yes.
Because if we don't, we're going to be like, you know, we're just going to be obstinate and,
right.
you know, stiff-necked and, the only thing that happens when you get stiff neck is your neck gets broke.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But if we just allow God to work.
Amen.
Then we may not see it right away. I mean, Abraham had to wait 25 years
Whoa.
For the promise. The Israelites waited 400
yeah.
to get out of Egypt. And then they waited another 1,400 for the coming of the Messiah.
Right.
So.
Wow.
You know, sometimes you have to be patient and just let God work, and that is so hard sometimes.
It is.
Because we live in a pretty instant, I think somebody called it a microwave society.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, everything gets done fast.
Yeah.
You know, our communications are faster. Our food gets prepared faster in most cases. And we just think, you know, this ought to happen now. But sometimes what I've found is usually when I'm waiting on something, it's because God wants to work something out in me along with whatever I'm waiting on.
No, yes. And not easy to do, right, Megan? Sometimes I'm going to run over to Isaiah 40:31 real quick while Megan is commenting on that, because that this so goes along with that. Go ahead.
Well, it, you know, when you're in a situation, it can be hard to technically come to grips with what you've been given. But when you surrender to God and you give him your heart and you give him all of your thoughts and you rebuke Satan on a daily basis for the derogatory things that he puts in your mind,
right,
when you ignore him and you glorify God, Satan runs and flees from you and is not happy with the fact that you're celebrating a storm. And I'll tell you what, I have 11 days left until my miracle arrives, and I'm going to do nothing but celebrate
Megan.
I have gone through, because I am going to make sure that my family and my child and anybody that wants to sees what it's like to live in the arms of Jesus.
Ooh, girl.
It's amazing. I can't even tell you.
Take it out. Amen. And while you're saying that, I'm thinking of Isaiah 40:31. In the Message Bible, I'm not sure exactly what verse this is. Maybe you can tell me. It starts here, God doesn't come and go. God lasts. So Megan, right there, he's with you. He doesn't come and go. He's not
right
with you one day, and then the next day he goes, I'm not in the mood.
28.
He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Boy, I do. A grandmother here and going through two teenage boys for a week. I got tired out. He doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch his breath. And he knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired. PJ, read it in your translation, whatever that is. Love this.
Okay. I'll start with verse 28.
Okay.
Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength.
Yes.
Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Oh, I love those verses. Woo! So as you're waiting there, Megan, you're waiting, what's God doing? They shall rise up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not grow weary. They shall run and not faint. Is that what's happening to you, Megan?
That's totally what's happening in this situation. I have, you know, I'm 9 months pregnant, and I mean, there are times when I get tired, but my spirit is on fire, and
woo!
it never ceases. I mean, even when I go to bed, I can feel it. And he speaks to me.
Yes,
I mean, every day he speaks through other people to me. It's totally amazing what happens when you let God take control.
Absolutely. Instead of sitting around and feeling sorry for yourself and defeated, you are facing this thing and choosing to believe that God is telling you the truth. Faith is acting like God told you the truth. That's what faith is. Acting like God tells you the truth. Okay? So you are exercising your faith and going, okay, God, I believe you. So if I believe you for this miracle, believe that you're telling me the truth, now it's time to thank you for it.
That's right.
Well, and you thank God even before the miracle comes. I mean, in Romans chapter 4, Paul's talking about Abraham, and it says, you know, he grew strong in his faith, and literally it's as he gave thanks to God.
Oh, I love that. That's in
Romans chapter 4.
That's right. He grew strong as he gave thanks to God. right? Megan, that's for you. That's this situation we're talking about.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. Good stuff. Good stuff. So that's what the celebration is all about. And with that said, we are going to go over to Luke chapter 15. And we are going to find Jesus ministering, and we are going to see what he does about people who are very difficult to be around. Do any of you out there in Radio Land ever run into anybody that's just maybe a little difficult? Possibly they are negative. Maybe they make fun of you. Maybe they criticize you behind your back. Maybe they judge you. Maybe they talk about you. And maybe all of that is happening, and to some of you right now, and you're feeling kind of down and discouraged about that, feeling like you've lost your reputation, quote unquote. Talk to me about that, Pastor Jim, losing your reputation. Woo.
What reputation?
There you go.
Well, and it's funny because that's exactly what's happening here in verse 1 of chapter
Luke,
15.
That's it, right here.
Of Luke chapter 15, because here we have the tax collectors, the sinners, the... How does the message say that?
It says, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently.
Yes. And, yeah, so, and specifically tax collectors and sinners, which would be irreligious, non-believing Jewish people.
Right.
Probably some prostitutes tossed
sure.
in there, too.
Sure.
You know, Jesus liked to hang with the prostitutes also for some reason.
Isn't that interesting, though, that he did? He
yeah.
always did hang out with tax collectors. I mean, I just saw the movie Son of God up in Indiana, and when he actually sees Matthew, the tax collector, and looks at him, and when Matthew looks at him, a tears just run down Matthew's eyes because he realizes he's got to repent and change his mm-hmm. life, and he did, and he turned and followed Jesus. And Jesus is always approaching those type of people.
Well, and he says right here, it's not, well, actually I read it earlier, and it's in Luke chapter 6. It's not the healthy
right.
who need a doctor, it's the sick.
Right.
And Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, I came to call the unrighteous to
right.
repentance.
Right.
And, you know, he says that here because the Pharisees and...
Tell our listening audience who the Pharisees were.
Well, there were two main groups of, how shall I say, Jewish scholars, sort of like Republicans and Democrats or Roman Catholics and Episcopalians, something along those lines. One were the Sadducees, and the Sadducees actually ruled the temple. They were the descendants of the priests, you know, of Aaron, and then later on through Zadok's, which is where you get the name Sadducee. And they were very strict. They didn't believe in anything in the Bible except the first five books. They didn't believe in a physical resurrection, lots of other stuff. The Pharisees were different. They grew out of the first captivity in Babylon, and especially after the Maccabean rebellion, and it means the pure ones.
Okay.
Pershim means the pure ones, and they studied the law, they knew the law inside and out, and they added to the law. They were very, very strict about, very scrupulous about being ritually pure, trying
okay.
to keep all the commandments of the law, which is why they got upset with Jesus, because he just wouldn't do that. He
bucked the system all the time.
He bucked the system all the time.
Because, in your face. That's
well,
where he was.
You know, it kind of summed up in, you know, Jesus said, remember what the heart of the law is mercy.
Mercy.
And, you know, he told the Pharisees at one point, you know, you strain out a gnat and you allow a camel.
Yeah.
Okay? Both of which are unclean. But, he said, just remember what really matters. And it's kind of like that here, because the Pharisees, in their self-righteousness, are saying, well, you know, he's making himself unclean by hanging out with these sinners.
Right.
And we already said, no, Jesus is, you know, like he touched the leper in Matthew chapter 8. That should have made him unclean, but it didn't.
Right.
He transmitted his cleanness, as it were, to the leper. And it's the same thing here. The Pharisees got all upset and said, well, you know, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And I looked up that word receives in my translation, the English Standard, and it means accepts.
Yeah.
This man accepts sinners. Well, that was certainly something a Pharisee couldn't do. Because
they didn't want to do that at all.
No, because that would make them, in their own eyes, unclean or impure.
So they thought that it would rub off on them.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it would rub off. The sin would rub off. Megan talked to us about this whole concept and Jesus' attitude here. And why was he doing this, Megan? Why was he hanging out with these sinners? Oh, wow.
Well, in my book, he seeks out the most difficult person.
Okay.
What I mean by that is the most stubborn.
There you go.
Prideful. The most unclean. And because he can cure and heal. God can cure and heal anything.
Right.
So if you have the Pharisees' definition of well, I can't hang out with those people because they're unclean, then you're not thinking in the regard that God does towards all of the people that he's created on this earth.
Absolutely.
So it amazes me that even back then, and I know it's gone on since the beginning of time, but the amount of judging that we humans do of other humans.
Oh, absolutely.
If we could just realize what God and Jesus did and what they still do is seek out those stubborn
absolutely.
Individual people to heal them and to save them from their darkness.
And to bring them out of that,
yes.
To bring them in to everything that God has for them. I love the end of verse 3 where it says, these guys were grumbling, these scholars, these religious leaders, and they said, he takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends. I mean, in other words, accepting them right where they are, PJ.
Right. Well, and, you know, that brings up a good point. I mentioned about the Pharisees. They wanted to make sure that you didn't break the law, so they did what's called putting a fence around the law with
right.
the oral traditions. And even if a sinner, quote unquote, ate kosher food because they were a sinner, say Matthew, the tax collector, it was still unclean.
Right.
And that's what they, you know, they, he eats with them.
He eats with them.
He gets, you know, he's eating with these unclean people. He's going to get himself unclean.
Right.
And it's just,
setting themselves up as perfection and everybody else not meeting that grade. And what I love about Jesus as he walked this earth, one of many things I love about him, is that he was consistently putting himself in harm's way. He wasn't trying to please everybody. He was trying to send a message, a powerful message, that he was reaching out to everybody. It didn't matter if they were prostitutes, if didn't matter if they were, again, tax collectors or anything like that.
Lepers.
Lepers. Yeah, he went right up to the lepers, and we talked about that 2 or 3 weeks ago, went right up to them. Megan, what is wrong with Christians today that this is so... They're so afraid to be around someone that is not
them.
Them, yeah, there you go. That is different, that is diverse.
Well, you know, I think it's that thing, like you said, that they're afraid that's going to rub off on them.
Yeah.
Well, why don't they use what they've been given of their Christian life and let that rub off on the person, the prostitute, the drug addict, whatever they may be? Why don't they look at it from God's point of view and to let God be seen through them and to show them what it's like to live a Christian life?
Amen.
If they're not, then they're not facing the truth that's in the Bible about walking in the way that God wants you to walk. So, and it's just like you said, one of the things you love about Jesus is that he didn't come here and, you know, walk around on eggshells. He came
Amen.
Here to show people the truth. And to even though sometimes we don't like to hear it, Pastor and PJ, we need to hear it, because the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing to me that there still could be so many Christians that are worried about their own reputation than worrying about God's reputation.
Ooh.
And what he stands for.
Whoa.
Fear of man brings a snare.
It sure does.
And that's so true.
It's right on,
that,
Megan.
Kind of sound like the word Dan gave us this morning at
yes,
church.
Yes, 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 yes. Seriously, about getting out of our four corners. And,
right, getting out of our four walls and taking Jesus with us wherever we go.
That's right.
And taking the Jesus of the New Testament.
Right.
Not the Jesus of the stained glass window.
Right, exactly, know. Exactly.
We need to take the living Jesus with us and act like that. I mean, where I'm at, I use two, like I said earlier, the American Bible Society. And then I also use another system where I'm reading through the whole Bible in a year. And I'm still in the Gospels. I'm actually just about a third of the way through Luke. And I look at the things Jesus said and did, and they're so radical.
Radical.
You're right, Pastor. He put himself in harm. He just irritated the Pharisees.
Absolutely.
Every chance he got.
Intentionally.
Intentionally.
Wait, go ahead.
Well, and I was reading this morning in Luke chapter... Luke chapter 5, about healing, cleansing another leper, and the man, the paralytic.
Yeah.
He could have done it in a corner.
Oh, no.
He does it in front of the Pharisees.
Right out there.
And instead of saying to the paralytic, you're healed, he says, your sins are forgiven. Well, that really caused an uproar.
Well, yeah.
Because the Pharisees, and rightly so, even though they didn't know, but they said nobody can forgive sins but God himself. Well, of course, they didn't know who Jesus was.
Right.
And Jesus says, okay, what's easier? I forgive your sins or rise up and walk. And the paralytic got up and walked away. And, you know, again,
right.
Just honked off the Pharisees.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was thinking about, you know, we went through the sermon. We spent all those weeks on the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes, we did.
And think about that. I mean, he basically cut through the crustaceans that had all the crustiness. Well, I almost said your other word.
Okay.
You know, through that crust that
yes.
had been built
yes.
around the heart of the law.
Yes, right.
He just cut right through that. And
oh, yeah.
That was upsetting because it looks like, and I told you when we were going through that whole thing, I would make a really good Pharisee because I would put all sorts of fences around it just to make sure I didn't sin. And, you know, that Jesus makes me uncomfortable sometimes because he plays fast and loose with the rules.
Yes, he does. And it's freedom. It's all about freedom.
Yeah.
And when you guys were talking a minute ago, it reminded me of Matthew 7, where we were a few weeks ago on that series we did, 4 G's for Kingdom Living, that you're talking about. And Matthew 7, verse 1, Jesus says something very radical. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment.
Mm-hmm.
That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? And then he just goes on to say, don't bargain with God, be direct, ask. And he's basically calling everybody to count and saying, wait a minute, you don't have a right to pick on people. And that's what's going on here in Luke 15, the first few verses. The religious leaders are mad at Jesus for hanging around with these, quote-unquote, sinning people.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, Jesus says, wait a minute. Let's look at Luke 15, verse 4. He says, suppose one of you had 100 sheep and they lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? Yes.
And I was thinking, he's talking about the sinners are the one that's
absolutely.
Lost. And I was thinking, he kind of saying that the Pharisees are the 99, and he's kind of giving them a backhanded
compliment?
Because he's including them those that aren't lost, those that are righteous. And yet, in a way, it's done... in a way to kind of smack them upside the head nicely.
He's a pro.
You know,
at that.
To bring it to their attention. Okay,
right.
This is what I'm. Wouldn't you do this if one of your sheep got out?
Yes.
And you'd leave the other 99, so I'm leaving you all alone.
Right.
While I go out and look for the lost ones.
That's exactly what he's saying here. And that explains why he was hanging around with, quote unquote, people of ill repute. People who needed a lifeline. People who needed a life change. People who needed to come out of whatever they were involved in that was really destructive and self-destructive and come into everything that God had for them. That's the purpose of this little parable right here. And it says, when found, I don't know what verse that is, maybe 5, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders,
Yeah. Rejoicing.
Let's say the word rejoicing together.
Because, rejoicing.
Rejoicing, because when you find somebody who's been lost and they find Jesus, wow, that's a time to celebrate. And when you got home, you call in your friends and your neighbors, and you say, in the Message Bible, I love it, celebrate with me. Celebrate good times. Come on. Oh, I found my lost sheep. Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. Megan, talk to us.
Well, it's totally amazing because, you know, the Pharisees, quote unquote, put up this fence around the law of the Bible. But if one of those people would have got out, so in talking about the sheep, is, of course, you're going to go looking for them. And, of course, when you get them back, you're going to celebrate. And God was trying to show them that no matter the make and model of the person.
Make and model, okay.
Into the kingdom of God. Because, you know, everybody is created differently.
Yes.
And
make and model.
Everybody has their own personality and their own preferences.
Uh-huh.
But we all have to remember, and this is what Jesus was trying to show, was that we all serve a direct purpose in the kingdom of God.
Woo! Praise God. Yes. Yes. And no matter what you're struggling with today, dear one, God has a plan for your life. Listen to this song by the group Point of Grace. It's entitled Only Jesus. It's all about Jesus.
A sister breaks a promise, a leader tells a lie, a wife tells her husband it only happened just one time. A man knows it wasn't innocent how he came upon his wealth. A preacher looks in the mirror, says, how can I?
the only one. What? Whoa, I love that. What kind of heart can heal this kind of pain? Only Jesus. He's the only one, people. So these people that are the quote-unquote down-and-outers, you know, they've got, gone through so much and maybe just lived really rough, difficult lives or in pain. Some of you out there may be some of those that just feel like, you know, there's no hope for you and there's no answer. What's the answer here? It's only Jesus. That's it. We can try our best to fix ourselves. You know, people do. They go to classes and they do this, they do that, and whatever to fix themselves. But only Jesus can get down in there in that pain. Megan, talk to me about this. I love this song. It's good.
Well, that song is beautiful because when I look at my situation, you know, there is no possible way that I could have made it through this without Jesus. And there is no possible way that this child is going to make it into this world without Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Because, you know, we can't cure a disease. We can't cure ourselves of emotional pain. We can try, but we're not going to succeed.
Right.
So I don't know how many times we have to say it, but you've got to turn your life towards Jesus so that you can be healed.
Amen.
You can experience true healing.
Well, that's what these people were doing, Megan, in Luke 15, the first part. They were coming and really trying to find out what Jesus was all about. These are people of quote-unquote doubtful reputation. So these are people that were engaged in behavior and thinking that was really detrimental and harmful and sinful. Go ahead, PJ.
Well, I was just thinking the Pharisees of that day, and certainly some around today, put roadblocks up because they wouldn't. It's like they were hiding the gospel inside,
right,
and not being willing to share because I don't want to associate with those other,
right,
those people that are not me.
Right.
I don't want to associate with them. So the Pharisees would have just let them all
rot
and go to, I mean,
yeah,
let them all die,
right,
spiritually as well as physically, as trying to minister to their needs.
They didn't want to minister to,
right,
them. And don't you see that in this day and age that our churches are full of prideful people that will stand in pulpits and in small groups and Bible studies and teach that some people are less than others, that some people are, you know, don't associate with them. You might, like, forget the gay community, which we minister to a lot. And in that, there's so many people who feel like they are religiously superior. And, oh, I I don't want to be, you know, associated with gay people. And this, it's coming back to me for the second time now. So I'm going to tell you this illustration. Many, many years ago, I was a youth pastor, a long time ago. In the 70s, late 70s, in a large full gospel church in Indiana. And I opened a bookstore in the June of 1980. Megan, that was probably before you were born. And, is that right?
Yeah, a few months.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. And so there I was in this Christian bookstore in a very nice location. People started coming in. And they were picking up books. I would find them in corners of the bookstore crying, or they would come up to the counter and want to talk. I had a little office, and I would take them back and pray with them and whatever. And at that time, I was teaching a Bible study in the bookstore on Monday nights, and people were coming in, started out just in the little office, and then it took over the whole bookstore. And so we would push things back. But a lot of people that came were people that had serious issues, had problems with drugs, had problems with lifestyles that were less than good. And some of them were gay individuals. Okay. Some of them. And on a particular day, I got a phone call from the pastor of the church. Nice guy. I liked him. His name was Joe. And I thought we were pretty close. I was his youth pastor, you know. And he called me, said, "I need to talk to you. Come on down to the office." I went down there. And he said, "Well, we got a problem." And I said, "What's the problem?" And he said, "Word is around town that you have a Monday night Bible study, and there's some gay people that come to that Bible study." I said, "Yeah, yes, sir, there are." And he said, "Well, that's making you look bad." And I said, "Well, I don't see it that way." And he says, "Well, that's the way it is." And I said, what does that mean? And he goes, stop the Bible study. Do not associate with those gay people, or you are no longer a youth pastor here. Now, I have not told that story very much through the years. It was pretty a hurtful time. It was difficult. Guess what? I ceased to be the youth pastor.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, and what choice did you make?
I did not give up the Bible study. It grew and flourished, and a church grew out of that, which was the church I pastored, where I met you, Megan, many years later. But I was given the choice that day in his office, and I thought, you got to be kidding me, sir. You know, this church is 400 or 500 people here, and how do you know there's not any, quote-unquote, gay people coming to your church? You know, and but, you know, it was best for me just to say, okay, that's fine, and I walked away. And but you see, this is the kind of thing that religious people have done through the years, and instead of going after those that may need a listening ear or may need to know that God loves them just the way they are, let's look at the story of the lost coin in verse 8 of Luke 15. Imagine a woman, this is Jesus talking, who has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp, scour the house, look in every nook and cranny till she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call her friends and neighbors. Oh, here's that word again. I think we need applesauce ready for this word. You ready? Oh, because here's what he says. And she will say this, celebrate with me. All right. I found my lost coin. Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. PJ, I mentioned in my sermon today that every once in a while we get glimpses in Jesus' teaching of what heaven is like. He kind of pulls back the curtain a little bit and lets us see a little glimpse. Talk to us about this, because here we have two stories already in this chapter, and the theme is celebration.
Yeah, and the angels celebrate.
The angels party.
The angels party, guys! When somebody gets saved, the angels party.
They do.
And it's like there's, joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Oh, my.
And what an amazing thing. I mean, it's sometimes I think the angels are far more joyful than we are.
Oh, I know they are.
You know.
I believe they are.
It's like, oh, yeah, okay. So-and-so got saved. Whatever.
But they're having a party.
The angels were having a party about it, so I guess we should, too.
Oh, amen.
You know.
Woo! Make a comment on that before we get ready to go to station ID here in a few minutes.
Well, they also party when children of God trust and rely on God.
Aha! Uh-huh.
It's probably like a 24-hour party up there. And I can't wait. It'll be so much fun because I love to sing and dance and praise the Lord.
Dance? You know, are you kidding? There might be some people listening that go, oh, no, we don't dance. But I tell you what, even though I'm not a dancer, I know a lot of people who are. And one of them is Pastor Jim sitting right here beside me. This guy can dance. And in the old days, they called that cut a rug. Yes. Cut a rug.
Well, that's what they're doing up there is cutting a rug.
So. They certainly are. Woo!
You know, it's amazing that God uses money to symbolize what he celebrates as, you know, that one person asking for forgiveness and renewing their life in him.
Right.
Is that, you know, it's just such a magnificent thing to celebrate because there's another person that's saved that's going to come to heaven and not be stuck here and left behind in the junk.
Ooh, he brings us out of our old life to bring us in. Oh, my. Pastor Jim, tell our listening audience about our prayer team. Megan, stay with us, and we will do a couple minutes of work here and then come right back. Go ahead.
Okay, well, we have a prayer team that stretches pretty much across the country. Mm-hmm. And if any of you have a prayer request, we believe that God answers prayers.
Oh, amen.
Our prayer team is firm about that. We believe that when we ask, God hears, and we know, quoting scripture, that if he hears us, we have what we request from him.
Yes.
And so if you have a prayer request, you send it to our prayer line, which is prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Amen.
Either myself or Carol up in Georgia will pick it up and distribute it. We usually, both of us will write a prayer, and so that everybody's kind of on the same page praying in unity.
Amen.
About whatever the particular situation is. And we've seen great moves,
so
great
many
miracles,
answers to prayer,
so
all the
answers.
Time, all the time.
And, you know, if
that's all to God's glory, right. Not us, but not we're us. Just faithful to pray.
Right.
That's all.
And if you would, when your prayer gets answered, let us know.
I
mean, I keep a record in, I have a little subfolder in my email for answered prayers.
Yes.
You know, I kind of, that's a faith builder because we can point back and say, okay, we prayed, God moved. We prayed, God moved. We prayed, God moved.
Amen.
And so, at any time, I mean, send it out. One of us, like I said, we'll pick it up. We'll get it out to our prayer team, and we will pray for your needs, whatever they are. We'll pray believing that God will move.
There's all kinds of requests that come through. Some days, many, many in one day. So use our prayer line, and if you want to be a part of the prayer team, write to the same address, prayers@bohmglobal.com. And we invite you in this second hour here of our show to use the internet that we have up here right in front of Pastor Jim. You can email or, email. That's what you can do. Any comments, questions, or anything else to pastor@bohmglobal.com. That's actually my email address, and it's coming up right here, pastor@bohmglobal.com. So you want to talk to me personally, you can do that with that email address. Pastor Jim's email is pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. And again, the prayer line, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Station ID, here we go.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
That is our station identification that we do at the top of the hour. We're starting our second hour right now of Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Megan, part of our radio team, faithful member for a year and a half, or almost 2 years now. Megan, isn't that about right?
I think so.
Oh, crazy. Yeah, time's flying. And Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, I'm Pastor Marcia. We're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. And we are talking about Luke chapter 15, a really good section of scripture that is powerful. And we see here in Luke 15:1 that Jesus is teaching and he is allowing sinners to come near him, to eat meals with him. Guys, he's hanging out with sinful people. Oh, my.
I'm sure he'd be hanging out at some of the bars or some of the...
Of course he would.
You know, some of the local hangout spots.
Yes, because of course he would.
That's where the people who need to hear the word are at.
Exactly.
You know,
But, like we see here in the first part of Luke 15, the religious leaders didn't like this. And so there became a division in their ranks, and they were mad at Jesus. And that's why I selected this song, and we're going to talk about this because it goes into the story of the lost son, and I think we can really use this song right now, City on a Hill by Casting Crowns. Listen carefully to the words and see if you understand what is going on in a lot of churches these days.
Said one old man to the other, it once shined bright and it would be shining still, but they all started turning on each other. You see, the poets thought the dancers were shallow, and the soldiers thought the poets were weak, and the elders saw the young ones as foolish, and the rich man never heard the poor man speak.
And one by one, they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill. The city on the hill. Each one thought that they knew better, but they were different by design. Instead of standing strong together, they let their differences divide. And one by one, they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill. Searching still. But it was the rhythm of the dancers that gave the poets life. It was the spirit of the poets that gave the soldiers strength to fight. It was the fire of the young ones. It was the wisdom of the old. It was the story of the poor man that needed to be told. It is the rhythm of the dancers that gives the poets life. It is the spirit of the poets that gives a soldier strength to fight. It is the fire of the young ones. It is the wisdom of the old. It is the story of the poor man that's needing to be told. One by one, will we run away with our made-up minds to leave it all?
Wow, that's such a powerful song. Just talks about how so many people allow themselves to be divided from brothers and sisters in Christ because they see things different or they have a different opinion on something. And we're going to see that here in the story of the prodigal son, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. I love this. Let's start with verse 31. No, it's 11. And Luke 15. He said, there was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, I want right now what's coming to me. And isn't that a picture of our generation today, Pastor Jim? Right now, I want it now.
Yeah.
I want it instantly. Yeah. Well, you did mention that earlier.
Yeah, and it's the me.
Yeah.
You know, I want what I want, and I want it now, and it's my money, and I want it now.
It's my money, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of that same sort of thing. And the son was asking, he would have gotten one-third of the father's estate.
Yeah.
Now, that had to hurt.
Because he was the younger son.
He was the younger son.
The older son, yeah.
The older son would eventually get two-thirds. The younger son would get the remaining third. And... but that had to hurt.
Right.
I mean, financially, that had to
hurt the father.
That
you
hurt
mean.
The father, yeah.
Absolutely, to divide it up right then and give him what he... meet his demands. He met his demand.
Yeah. And it sometimes, obviously, I mean, in the parable, the father is the father, God the father.
God the father.
And sometimes he'll let us... run.
You know, will.
He'll give
he'll
us
even
our,
give us what we
he'll
want.
Give us that inheritance.
We think
we
this is what we want.
It,
right.
Know.
Yeah.
Been there. I mean, personally, I spent few seasons trying to run from God.
Absolutely.
You know, out being a prodigal. And, you know, but he did. He gave the son what the son wanted. I know God the Father, our Father God, knows what's going to happen.
Right.
I mean, he knows we're going to end up with pigs.
Right. Yeah.
Okay?
We're getting to the pig part of this story.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And he knows what's going to happen. I mean...
but he loves the son enough to say, okay, I gave you a free will. which God gives each of us a free will, that we make our own decisions. Do we always make the right decision? Absolutely not. Okay? So many times we do what is based on emotion. We make a decision on, we get involved with somebody that's not good for us. We get involved with a situation at work or something, or, you know, we get ourselves in a big old mess in some way. And God allows that. And even though he could change that, God allows in his wisdom, says Graham Cook, he allows in his wisdom what he could easily prevent by his power. Mm-hmm. Megan, talk to us about this. This is a prodigal. Yeah.
Well, you know, as humans, we are going to stray and we are going to make mistakes, and he knows that about us. And it's not that he lets it happen. We let it happen. And when we step away from him and we try to control our own path and our own destiny.
Right.
But the cool thing about it, and the same thing in Luke chapter 15, is that no matter what we do, or how we try to control our lives, we're always forgiven. And we're always given a chance to come back. Repetitive times, you know, hundreds and thousands of times, we're allowed to come back and ask for forgiveness.
And that's why we
thing.
That's why we celebrate, right?
That's right.
We celebrate because we know that God, our Father, loves us so much that even when we make fools of ourselves and do ridiculous things and run away from God or cause trouble in a church or whatever the case may be, when we do stupid things and we say, God, I'm sorry, we are forgiven. We are forgiven, and that is huge here. So the father meets the demand of the younger son, and he divides his property, and the younger son packs his bags and leaves for a distant country. There, and I love these words in the Message Bible, undisciplined and dissipated. I love those words. Undisciplined and dissipated. In other words, this guy just lived by his senses from that point on. I mean, just doing his own thing and not caring about anybody but himself. He was spending and squandering his money. Do we have a... There's somebody there. Did you want to read that? Go ahead.
Yeah, we have an urgent prayer request.
Okay.
From a lady named Valerie. She says she's listening to the radio show with a heavy heart as she awaits results from blood work, that she'll get the results back tomorrow. She's been under stress, hoping that the fatigue and exhaustion she's been experiencing is nothing more than that. But she did have blood tests. So she's requesting that we pray. And that God would restore her emotional and physical health.
Praise God. Thank you, Valerie, for reaching out. And let's do that right now. Pastor Jim, let's just pray a prayer for Valerie right now. And then you can send out this request later today. But go ahead and let's pray for Valerie right now.
Father, we thank you that for Valerie who's listening. And Father, we do lift her up to you. Lord, we ask that you would be her peace.
Amen.
That you would be Yahweh Shalom, the Lord who is her peace.
Yes.
Father, we pray peace upon her, that the stress would just fall off of her in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Father, this fatigue, like we read earlier, we just proclaim Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31.
Amen.
That as Valerie waits on you, you will give her strength.
Yes.
You'll renew her strength. She'll run and not be weary. She'll walk and not faint.
Amen.
Father, we proclaim in Jesus' name that those tests that are going to come back tomorrow will be fine. It's just been some stress, some fatigue. And Father, we ask you just to take Valerie in your arms now, in your hands, and just hold her, Father.
Amen.
Father, we just ask you to pour out your spirit upon her, grant her rest, grant her peace, grant her strength in Jesus' name.
Praise God.
Amen.
Woo. Thank you, Valerie, for writing and sharing that. That request will go out tonight on our prayer team, and that's worldwide global prayer team. And we will definitely be praying for you, and we're glad you're listening. And in talking about this young man in Luke 15, the prodigal son, I find it very interesting that the father did not try to argue with the son and tell him all the things that he was thinking wrong. I know that in our humanness, we try to do that as parents, grandparents, etc. We try to, as pastors, leaders, we just, come on now, come on, let's go, let's get it, you know. And I own that. And as a pastor of a church, I want people to want to get in the Word and want to listen and want to praise God and want to get it. You know, I told you that earlier, PJ. Mm-hmm. There are times that I just get frustrated. Come on, people, why aren't you getting this, or why aren't you wanting to hear the Word of God that's going to change your life? But this guy didn't do that. He just simply put his son in the hands of the Lord. Of course, he is a type of God himself. So, but we see in the story that this young man went, and that he went through all his money. He went, he found himself in a bad famine, and he was really in a very big mess when he signed on to be a slopper of pigs. You and I are from Indiana, and Megan lives there currently. And we know all about pigs, don't we, Megan?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
We know how on a warm summer day... You can smell that pig farm from 20 miles away.
Yes. Right. Yes. And so there's where he was working, and it says he was so hungry he would have eaten the corn cobs that they give the pigs, but nobody offered him any. I love it.
And think of, I think Jesus was, you know, he could have said he fed the cows or fed the chickens. He specifically said pigs, I think, for a reason, because pigs are unclean.
They're unclean
to the Jewish people.
Right.
You know, under the dietary laws, pigs are an unclean animal. And I think Jesus chose that because it just shows how degraded the son had been. I mean, we assume the father and the sons are Jewish. I mean, it's
right.
A Jewish
story.
Jesus was Jewish. He's telling stories about Jewish people to Jewish people.
Right.
Well, here's this kid out now feeding pigs.
Right.
And just, I could just see people like, you know,
yes.
You know, getting all terrified, feeding pigs. Oh, no.
Right.
But it just shows the depth of degradation.
Ooh.
The depths to which the son had sunk.
Exactly.
That he would forsake everything and be feeding these unclean animals.
Oh, yeah. He was a mess. And I love the, and this is the Message Bible that I teach out of, in verse 17 of Luke 15. It says, this first sentence of verse 17 says this: that brought him to his senses. Wow. What brought him to his senses? Well, when he couldn't even eat pig food, you know, when he had nothing, when he was hungry, he was a wreck, he was a mess. He had nothing, but what that lack and that problem did was bring him to his senses.
Right.
Oh, Megan, talk to us about that, because that is what happens, isn't it?
It's exactly what happens. It's what happened to me.
Okay.
And if anybody's listened to the radio shows of the past, they know that, is that, you know, I was told that my son was probably going to die at birth, and they're still trying to tell me that.
Right.
But it took... I hate to say it this way, it took me getting to that point at the lowest point of my life for me to truly realize, even though I've been a Christian my entire life, that it took that for me to realize that that was the only thing and the only strength that would get me through this time in my life. And so when you look at Luke chapter 15, that prodigal son got to the point where, you know, he was working in filth.
Yeah.
And, you know, imagine how, like you said, how disgusting it was for him to have to work in that.
Oh.
And to have to be, to stoop to that level. But God didn't do that to him. He did that to himself.
He did it to himself. Yeah.
He turned away from his father. And that was what he got himself into.
Right. Right. And because he did this, and then he comes to his senses, he begins to change his mindset. And that is the beginning of bringing us out of something to bring us in. We got to realize, wait a minute, we're in a mess, and we got to come out of that mess. Go ahead.
And that was the first step here. He said, how many of my father's hired servants are getting three meals a day?
Right.
And I'm starving. I mean, first of all, you have to face the reality of your situation. And that's what he did here.
Yes.
You know? And that, again, is that starting to bring him out.
Right.
You know, because you have to look at what's the reality of my situation? What's really happening here? And he said, you know what? I'm tired of doing this.
Right.
And my father's servants eat better than I do.
Right. And so he began to realize, oh my, I have made a huge mistake. And he says, And then he determines to go home and tell his dad that he is sent. He said, I will say to him, this is in about verse 18, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I love that, that he says first, I've sinned against God. You know?
Ultimately, that's...
That's it.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate sin. And I've sinned against you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. He got right up and went home to his father. That's the big, that first step of realizing, whoa, I've sinned. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is not accomplishing what you could accomplish. I mean, jealousy is sin. It's missing the mark. It, when you get jealous, when you get angry and that kind of thing, you're missing the mark. That's right. The kind of thing we're talking about. This is sin.
You know, I should have been a teacher, I guess.
Go right
the first
ahead.
Step was he realized the reality of his situation. Step
right.
two, he formulated a plan. I'm going to go back
oh,
to my
good.
Father.
That's good.
And this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, this then is what
step,
I'm going to say.
Then step three is he got up and did it.
Okay.
You know, he started.
Excellent.
He took that first step. He, you know, started going back to the Father's house.
Woo, Megan, talk to us about this.
Well, you know, that's when you get to the point when you finally make the decision that when you have sinned against God so much that you realize or someone helps you realize that you can and will be forgiven if you would just turn and make the right decision
right.
to go back to him and surrender and repent for what you've done.
Right. Yeah. And really, when that decision is made, you need to act on it right away because the devil will come in, right? And he will try to tell you, oh, that wasn't that bad. You know, so what if you had that nasty attitude or so what? You know, the devil will talk you out of repentance every time he can. And so,
well, of course,
I mean, really. So I love what you said, PJ. I mean, realize your situation. Get up and do something about it.
Right. Realize, formulate a plan, do something.
Do something.
And he did. The son got up and went back to Father's house.
Absolutely. So here he comes. All right. And here is the father who is so angry that he tells him and gives him a piece of his mind. Is that correct?
No.
No. Megan, is that correct?
No.
What's the attitude of the father?
The attitude of the father is celebration.
Woo! There's that word again. Wait a minute. Megan, are you ready? What
I'm
is
ready.
The attitude of the father?
Celebration!
Yes! We're using our applesauce today. Woo! All right. Cedric, you love doing that, don't you?
When I'm feeding Melody, she likes applesauce.
Oh, yeah?
And I always think of applause.
Why is it called applesauce? It always has been, I know.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But
I think it was a typo.
Really?
Could be.
I think it was a typo. I mean, in here.
Was it?
No, I mean, in here, it used to say applesauce instead of applause.
Right.
Yeah,
it did. And I mean, as long as I've been doing the show, we've been calling it applesauce.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the way it's been. So, but anyway, yes, that is so cool. When you're celebrating, I mean, it is like, whoa. Everything turns around when you begin to celebrate. Mm-hmm. You just let go of all the junk and all the stuff that you were worried about. Oh, my. And that's because God loves this young man. And we're going to see that in a minute. And that's why we're doing this next song. Again, one of my favorites, the Group Hill song, Power of Your Love.
Lord, I've come to love the
Praise God. I love that song. I'm going to rise up and soar like an eagle. There we go again. You know, in the power of your love, it's God's intense love for us people that causes us to realize that we can come to Him just as we are. You know, Megan, when you knelt down, you've told us about it, but if you want to share it again, you knelt down and you said, God, I can't change this. I can't do anything about this mess with Grayson, right?
Right.
Talk to me.
He swept in just like he does, just like our Heavenly Father, and took all of my worries, my doubts, and my fears, and they were gone. And when I feel that I'm coming back into that type of mental environment, I call it, I just tell him, Lord, I trust in you, and I know you can take this away from me.
Amen.
And I had this open, and maybe I'll share it now.
Go ahead.
A word that God gave me on January the 12th, and this can be for anybody, that God said, you haven't been able to trust anyone here. Do you know you can trust me? I won't steer you wrong. I won't lead you into something alone if you just trust me. Step out of the way and follow me. I'm your eternity. I'm your only hope.
Wow.
And he also gave me John 15:11-12, I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy be your joy and your joy wholly mature.
So
when people fully surrender and learn to trust in God, and when they give everything about themselves to Him, the only thing that comes upon you is joy.
Amen.
And that's where I'm at, and it's awesome. It's just nothing to do but celebrate, and it's all you can do. All you can do is celebrate it, because it's just awesome.
It is. It really is. And look at the... Did you start to say something, PJ?
Never mind.
Okay. Look at the attitude of the father here when he is standing out. I think he was standing out, you know, at the end of his lane somewhere.
Every day.
Every day, looking for his son and wondering, is today the day that he'll come back? And he's standing, and it says here in verse 20 of Luke 15, when he was still a long way off, the father saw him, his heart pounding. He ran out. That's the father. Embraced the son and kissed him. The son started his speech. Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. He was willing to be a slave. He was willing to stay over here instead of coming out of that.
Mm-hmm.
That life. He was willing to stay a slave, eating corn cobs, whatever it took, or three meals a day as a slave.
Yeah. Well, even that had to be better than what he was doing.
That's right.
And yet, the father, you know, what did the father do? He didn't say, fine, be my slave. You know, you're really messed up. You want to be a slave? Good. That's probably what you deserve. That's not what the father did.
No.
He said, I think he probably just told him, you know, be quiet.
Right.
Okay. Then he called his servants and said, we're going to have a party.
Right. Right. we're going to have what? What did you say? I don't. Did you say?
We're going to celebrate.
We're going to do what? All right. Woo! Yeah.
Because, and you went over this morning.
Go ahead.
You know, he did. Took off the old stinky clothes.
Yes.
Put on a new robe, our robe of righteousness.
Oh, amen.
Put a ring on his finger.
Woo!
Our covenant, symbolic of our covenant relationship with God.
Yes.
And put new shoes on his feet.
Oh, I want to talk about all three of those, because this, instead of beating him up.
It's that exchange.
It's the exchange. It's bringing you out to bring you in. Okay? So here he is. He comes and he smells. He probably hasn't had a shower. He's walked all this area. Think about it. He worked with pigs. Think how stinky this young man was. And his father embraced him. And instead of, I mean, most fathers would go, oh, go take a shower, put on clean clothes, and then come and I'll hug you. You know, instead he runs to his son and accepts him just the way he is. And he embraces him. And he turns around and says, we're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate.
Fireworks.
That's great. We're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate. And, you know, God accepts us just the way we are. Megan, talk to us about that. None of us have it all together. None of us do. Yet
no.
We can party all the time with God.
That's right. And we can we can live in the 24-hour party.
Yes, we can. Yes.
It's just so cool that, you know, that's exactly how God is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to sound really horrible, but no matter how stinky you are, how dirty you are, how messed up your life seems to be.
No matter how much you smell like little piggies.
That's right. How much you smell like you've been playing with hogs. God is going to welcome you with open arms every single time. No matter how many times you turn around and try to do it again, he's still going to be standing there at the end of the lane waiting on you.
You know, it reminds me of what happened to my grandson, Justin, last summer. I mentioned in the sermon this morning that Justin raised pigs and did 4-H last summer. And he won, actually, the whole county with his pig, Sassy, who he raised from a little tiny girl up to a great big old heifer. You know, I mean, he raised Sassy. But they had he and his cousins were there raising pigs too in the barn. And so they had a day when it had poured rain and poured rain and poured rain, and somebody had left the barn door, side door open. And so when they got there to feed the pigs that night, oh my gosh, they had to clean out all this awful, awful smell. Okay. So they're cleaning and they're shoveling and they're taking it out and they're putting it on this pile, okay? And they're just working it, and all of that, all of a sudden, and you should hear Justin tell the story. I cannot do it justice. Have you heard this, Megan, what he did?
No.
Because you know Justin, you love him and he loves you.
Yeah.
Justin had a big barrel kind of container that they were slopping the hogs, picking up all this crap is what it was, and put it in here. And Justin was carrying it out to the thing, and he slipped. And he basically dumped all over him, this thing. And it was so bad that his aunt was there with him, and she goes, "You cannot get in the car like that. You cannot go anywhere." And they put my grandson in a plastic bag. They put him in a big old garbage bag, took his clothes off of him and burned him. And, you know, it was bad. I mean, this was real bad smell. And but there he was, and he's you know, being hosed down, but he still smells. So they put him in a plastic garbage bag and take him home. And how like the messes we get ourselves in. Some of these messes are smelly. They are dirty. They stick to us even after we try our best to clean it up. And they still, that stench is there. You know, it's in your hair, wherever it is.
It's like getting skunk off of, trying to get skunk off.
Have
of
you had to do that, PJ?
No. Fortunately, no. I've... It's, smelled it by the side of the road.
Right, exactly.
And that's bad enough.
Well, here he is, and the father embraces him. I can't imagine hugging somebody that's been slopping hogs, but he does. And he turns around and he says, "Come on, let's have a party. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found." And then they began to have a wonderful time. Talk to us, Megan. Woo!
Well, you know, and I know we're going to get to the point about the other
yeah.
Not understanding, but it's just like God's nature to celebrate a reunion or a new life that's come into heaven, because it brings him so much joy that he is going to be able to minister to you. He's going to be able to heal you. He's going to be able to let you forget your past.
Right.
And it's just, it's unfortunate that not all fathers here on earth are as wonderful or even close to being as wonderful as God is. But, you know, we can be, as parents, we can be just as God wants us to be, as to be forgiving and welcome them home with open arms when they make a mistake.
Right.
We can be that way, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a real lesson for us. Talk to us, PJ.
Well, yeah, and I think so many people, they might read this, and I pray that when they do, their eyes would be open, because I really like what you said, Megan. So many people, our concept of God is clouded by our own parents.
Right.
And we have to remember, this is how God treats us, not yes. how our parents yes. treated us. And we take that first step. And I remember the first time I heard teaching, a real good teaching on this, was at one of the Evangelical Networks conferences way back in the late 80s. And the lady who was pastor of a church in Tucson taught on this, and she made the point about the father just didn't sit back. He was actively looking for his son to
Amen.
Come back.
It's not Amen. Like,
it's not like the father just sat back and said, well, if he comes back, he comes back, whatever. His heart, it says, in this it says, he had compassion.
Yes.
You know, his heart pounded. He,
right.
And he ran out.
Yes.
And, you know, we take those first couple of stumbling steps to the father, and he does more than just say, well, I hope you make it to me.
Yeah.
You know, he comes, he runs out to meet us.
Oh, absolutely.
And scripture says, and I wish I could remember the scripture, and I don't, but it says, God longs to be gracious to
yes.
us.
Yes.
He longs to show his grace to us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
The stinky old son.
Right.
He sees him down the road.
Right.
As we'd say, down the road a piece.
Right.
And he goes running down the road to greet him.
Right.
And then he sets up this big old party for him.
And I love the gifts, okay? These three gifts. So let's talk about them for a minute. And we'll go to a song in just a minute, but let's get at least one of them in. The robe, he, you know, he has to take the stinky clothes off.
Right.
You know, he's got to. And the stinky clothes are just a metaphor for our lives and our sinful nature, that we get ourselves involved in all kinds of messes. You know, not the least of which is just doubt and unbelief, you know, and fear, and not thinking that God is going to fulfill his promises. Did you have a verse there?
Well, when you get to what the robe signifies. Yeah.
Okay. So the robe signifies his righteousness. Mm-hmm. Okay. And because in the book of Revelation, it talks about the white robe, the linen robe that is coming. Go ahead with what you were doing. You're in Jeremiah.
I know, I'm in Revelation.
Oh, you are in Revelation. Okay.
Yeah. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds
yes.
of the saints. I mean, that's just, you know, he clothes us in his righteousness.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. He clothed me with a robe of
Woo.
Righteousness out of
yes.
Isaiah. You know, he put on this robe of righteousness.
Yes.
And again, he takes off the stinky sinful clothes
right.
and puts on the robe
oh,
of righteousness.
That'll preach. I tell you, because when we realize that he wants us to look good, you know, have you ever had a friend who was jealous of you and wanted you to look bad, you know, or did something to cause you to, or maybe in school, somebody trips you or wants you to, you know, does something crazy and you know, spill something on you. Or I was a camp counselor up at Quaker Haven, you know, years ago, Dewart Lake. And I walked in one night, and I had all these little 10-year-old girls, you know, in that cabin. Megan, you were not there, but this would be something you would do, Megan, back in that time. And I walked in, and they had a whole gallon of chocolate ice cream that was kind of melted up in a bucket over the door. And when I walked in, of course, required a shower. All right. But that's 10-year-old girls. But you know what? Fun, having a good old time. But that's the kind of thing that we come to God looking like we're just covered up with chocolate ice cream, you know? Megan, talk to us about righteousness. Woo! And before we do this song.
Well, you know, walking in righteousness can have a lot of definitions.
Yeah.
But to me, walking in righteousness is living a godly life.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is not judging people or condemning them for their faults. And, you know, I still believe that goes on even within churches today, people have this unapproachable appearance about themselves, and that they don't even want to make eye contact with you.
Right.
And that, to me, is not living righteously, because
right.
you should be approachable.
Yes.
You should be
yes.
welcoming people with open arms. You should
praise
be
God, Megan,
on people.
Right.
And because that's just like we've been talking about, that's where we need to recognize that's that one person, that could be that one person, that one sinner that God's been looking for.
Ooh.
And they finally walked in the door, but we let we let it slip through our hands. We chose not to approach them because we were fearful of their situation.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that is profound, Megan. That is really good. And we have got to be those that rise above, like this father, and says, let's get a fresh robe for you. Hey, it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. Our ministry is that at Beacon of Hope. Everyone is welcome. Doesn't matter where you've been, what lifestyle you're involved in or have been involved in, because God is there to meet your need and to accept you as we do, just right where you are. That's what we're talking about.
Right.
You know, the robe of righteousness is right standing with God. And we wear that knowing, okay, whoo, I'm wearing this because God loves me, you know? I'm his kid. And, it's just too cool, isn't it? It's really good. It's really good. I love it. So we got to go to the song because it really works perfectly here from the group Finding Favor. And it is love stepped in, because this is what happened with the father and the son. Love stepped in and took over.
Amen.
Instead of judgment and criticism, instead of the father berating the son and saying, oh, my, you're a loser. You're just this. You're just that. Love stepped in.
Right.
You know, love stepped in, and God needs to do this through us to all these that we come in contact with every day. Love needs to step in.
Preaching down off of 3rd and Main as I was passing by. He was talking kind of crazy, warning us all about the end of time. So out from the crowd, I just asked him, how could God love a mess like me? Son, I'm a preacher now, but that ain't who I used to be. He said, you'll never know, you'll never know how far love has brought me. You'll never know who I used to be. 'Cause I've been around and I've been down to the bottom of hell and back again. I was almost out, I was at my end, but then love stepped in. Every day, and all the love she has, she just gives away. So I asked her why she spends so much time on the broken and the poor, and she just smiled at me and said, I'm not who I was before. How far I've come since the day that preacher told me about his amazing love. I was lost and alone, and the lights came on, and hope set my heart free.
Wow, we did that song about a year ago. I haven't had it on the show for a long time. But boy, does that not fit right here. Mm-hmm. Love stepped in. That's what happened with the father here and this prodigal son. And he said, get him a fresh robe. You know, that's our robe of righteousness. Get him a ring. And the ring is the symbol of that relationship between God and us. It is that unending. It's a circle. It's an unending thing. And the substance, which a lot of times is gold or silver, is untarnishable. Go ahead.
And it also, I mean, it doesn't say, but it just came to me. A family member might have the right to use the father's signet ring.
Okay.
It also showed, again, a possible reestablishment of relationship.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Because
good point.
The son gave it all up.
Right.
He severed his ties with the father. He comes back, and the father says, okay, we're in covenant now. I'm putting a robe on you. Here's the ring that shows that you're back in favor with me.
There you go. There you go. Woo, and the name of that group that we just used was Finding Favor. It's kind of interesting. Okay, so we come into that place, and God says, all right, you can wear my ring. You're back in relationship with me. And then he gives him the sandals. And I love that from Ephesians 6, the armor of God. The sandals are our sandals of peace. And God is wanting us. Megan, talk to me about this. Peace is our umpire, it says in Colossians 3:15 in the Amplified Bible, it says, let peace be your umpire, settling with all finality every issue that confronts you. Peace has got to be the deciding. I took my grandsons to the Phillies versus the Blue Jays a couple days ago, the last spring training game before the season starts in a couple days, which, oh, hallelujah, baseball is starting. Praise God. And anyway, so we're sitting there, and
I just don't get it.
I know you don't. But just that place of, you know, the sandals were how you walk, where you walk, what you're doing. I forgot where I was going with the baseball thing, though. I'll come back to it. Megan, talk to me about this. The sandals of peace. What? Talk to me about those.
Well, when you technically put on sandals, your feet are protected.
Amen.
So
yeah.
When you have peace, you're protected.
Yeah, you are. You're walking around in them.
Well, yes, and you know, when you have that peace, Nothing can cut your foot. You know, you can't step on a rock. You're protected.
Amen.
So when you put on the armor of God, you know the sandals, being the peace, is one of the pieces of the armor of God. And when you allow peace to surround you and surround your situation, then nothing brings you down, because
right.
You're walking in the favor of God.
Amen. Amen. The peace is powerful. That's how we walk around. Go ahead.
Well, and I like what you said, Megan, about nothing can cut your feet, because it just hit me. He probably didn't have any shoes.
Probably not.
He probably didn't have anything on his feet. He walked barefoot.
Right.
Because, you know, it says he was destitute. You know, he's out feeding the pigs. He probably didn't have sandals anymore.
Right.
So this was a wonderful gift from his father.
And that's how we walk. We walk in peace day mm-hmm. by day, saying, God, okay, I don't know how to handle this situation, but you know
but
how.
You
so I'm going to have my sandals of peace on, and I am going to walk. I'm going to be governed by peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when something confronts me that I don't know what the answer is or how to handle it, I'm going to ask you for your help, and then you'll let me know by the peace within me.
That sounds so simple.
It is very simple.
Yeah, but you know how we get. It's like, I'm going to try. Okay, once I've worked out all my little schemes, then maybe I'll come to God and look for the peace, you know.
Right.
We tend to be that way.
Yes,
I tend to be that way.
Well, we all do. Yeah. So here we are. Oh, my gosh. What time is it? Oh, my. We got to wrap this up. The older son did not handle this very well, did he, PJ?
Well, he was very upset. And as I was kind of munching, meditating on this, mulling it over, you know, he complains. Not, you know, this son of yours, this other son, goes out and spends his inheritance.
Right.
Squanders it. He comes back, and instead of being angry, you throw a party. Not once did you ever throw a party for me. And it hit me, probably not once did he ever ask.
Right.
You know, James says, you don't have because you don't ask.
Well, that's a great point.
You know, because there's nothing in here that says, I begged you to throw a party for my friends and you didn't do it.
No.
It just says, you never did this.
That's a good point.
And I have a feeling it's because the older son never asked.
Right.
He just kind of assumed.
Right.
That, you know, sometimes we presume too much of our Father in heaven.
Right.
And, you know, he wants us to ask.
Right.
You know, James says you don't have because you don't ask.
Ooh, good point.
And I have a feeling that the older son...
And the older son was given to resentments and bitterness and jealousy right
yeah,
here.
Absolutely.
Talk to us, Megan.
Well, he was jealous.
And, I mean, yeah, there you go.
Duh. And
duh.
If you look at it, how many other Christians are that way today in society?
Oh, yes.
If someone is given a miracle, or if they're given, if they're brought out of the storm with a testimony, there always usually seems to be one person in the crowd
or more
that is jealous of that person's their win over their situation through God. And, you know, I can just imagine that son thought, you know, how dare you celebrate him coming home for what he did to you, taking your money and running off and throwing it frivolously into the air, and then he comes back and you forgive him and let him back in our family. But that's exactly what God does.
Amen.
There are people hating like over in the corner about somebody being forgiven and celebrating the fact that they've come into the kingdom of God. God is not going to change what he does for those people that run into his arms.
Amen.
And I was thinking, too, that, you know, we're in Numbers, where Moses and the elders get to eat a supper with God.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit descends on them, mm-hmm. and they all start prophesying. And then Joshua runs up and says, because two of the elders didn't make it to dinner, and yet they're in the camp prophesying.
Right.
And Joshua runs up to Moses and says, Moses, tell them to stop. They're prophesying. And Moses said, oh, that all God's people were prophets, and that he would
yes.
put his spirit on all of them.
Oh, yeah.
That's the attitude that we have to have, and that's exactly the attitude the brother didn't have.
Right.
Because here the son is forgiven, and it just irritated him because... You know, how dare you?
Right.
You know, God, how can you forgive that?
Right. Absolutely.
He does.
He does. And he loves us just the way we are. And this is such a beautiful picture of what happens in heaven. There is celebration going on when somebody turns to God. And go ahead with that.
Well, I was going to read the last verse
go
of the
ahead.
Chapter.
Please do.
Because, the father's explaining to the son, he says, it was fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this your brother was dead and is alive, was lost and is found.
Amen.
You know, that's the explanation. He was dead. For all we knew, he was dead.
Yes.
And he comes back.
Right.
He was lost out there, wandering around in sin, and he came back.
Amen.
Have a hymn coming on.
Oh, yes. You know. Absolutely. Absolutely. And there might be some of you out there right now that are saying, you know what? This applies to me. I've been running. I have not been committed to God. I've been doing my own thing. I have been out there like this prodigal son, just out there doing whatever I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it. And maybe the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now and saying, come on, come back to your Heavenly Father and get where you belong. Get into it was the hymn you were singing or thinking about, Amazing Grace, that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lost, but now I'm found. You know, I was blind, but now I see. Okay? And it's God's amazing grace, dear listeners, that's going to bring you to the place where you can say, okay, I am a child of the living God. I am clothed in his righteousness. I am walking in covenant relationship with him. And I do walk around governed by the peace of God in my life. And I am not going to let the devil steal all those blessings from me. If that is your attitude, just pray with us right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to minister to these that are listening that need a touch from you. Lord, you know who they are, either listening now live or later on our website. Lord, let this strong message today permeate lives and change attitudes and cause people to realize that they need you, yes. that they need you beyond anything else, beyond any possession, beyond anything, any job, any relationship. They need you primarily in their life. Lord, let today be a game changer. Let today be a day where celebration begins because people realize that they need you and they run into your loving arms. Amen. Lord, we ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Woo. Megan, you're getting ready to have a baby.
Yes.
Celebrate, come on.
That's right. Praising and praising God.
I've got you scheduled to be on the radio on April 13th.
Yeah, and remember what I told you? I'm on.
Okay, 2 days after Grayson's born. All right.
Yep, I'm on.
Ready to
share.
Amen. Megan, give us some final thoughts here.
Well, you know, I was pondering last night before we got on the radio today, and we have to get to a point, we have to have a starting point in our life where we give ourselves wholeheartedly to Him, where we come to a point where we know that we can't be divided any longer.
Amen.
And where we drop all of our idols. And Woo! There's a lot of different idols out there, people. It can be alcohol, drugs, a relationship. It can be many different things. But if we make Jesus our number one, His mercy is infinite.
Oh, amen.
And I just pray that over somebody today that finds that lane where God's standing at the end of it with His arms open, Woo! Waiting to hug you and bring you into the kingdom.
Wow. You're great. Megan, we love you, we love you, we love you.
Love you guys too.
All right. Pastor Jim, final words. You got about 30 seconds.
Well, just don't be afraid to come to the Father, because you take one step and He'll take 1,000.
Right. There you go. He's ready, just like Megan said, ready. Ready. If you want to talk to either Pastor Jim or I, it's easy to do that. You can email me, pastor@bohmglobal.com. You can email Pastor Jim at pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. Go to our website, www.bohmglobal.com. Prayer requests, prayers@bohmglobal.com. If you want to be a financial partner, go to our website and you can give a gift on PayPal, and all gifts will go to support this radio ministry. And we've been on the air almost 7 years, which is crazy now, and that it's been that long. We're getting ready to celebrate an anniversary here on the air in a couple weeks. So we're excited about that. So God bless every one of you. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, come to our location, 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North. Go to our website for exact directions. It's a little hard to find, at the corner of Drew and U.S. 19. God bless you. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, and Megan Kramer sharing the Word of God with you today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's not far to Jesus. Have a good week. See you next week.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to His side. There's no
Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.